From NPR News, it's All Things Considered. I'm Noah Adams. The South American nation of Colombia supplies more than 80% of the cocaine and half of the heroin consumed in the United States. Over the past year, the U.S. has given Colombia more than $1 billion to fight illegal drugs. About one-third of the U.S. aid money has gone toward a massive aerial eradication plan. The chemical sprayed on the drug-producing plants is called glyphosate. As Stephen Dudley reports, there are questions about both the safety and effectiveness of using it to reduce the drug supply.
In the U.S., glyphosate can be found on store shelves and products with benign names like Roundup or Rodeo. In Colombia, it's the most effective anti-drug weapon the government has. With helicopter crews keeping an eye out for dangerous drug runners, a T-65 twin-engine airplane zooms overhead, leaving a white cloud of herbicides to settle on the coca field below. Coca is the raw material used to make cocaine, but it is defenseless against the glyphosate-laced spray. Colombian and U.S. officials say glyphosate is nothing more than a strong weed killer, and if used properly, can effectively destroy unwanted crops without causing any damage to the environment. The makers of the chemical also say studies show it's safe for humans and animals if used properly. However, on the label, the makers of Roundup warn that direct contact with the chemical may be dangerous, and spraying from a plane is not an exact science. In the middle of this coca field, there's a stream that flows down towards the valley floor. On the edge of the field, there's a patch where villagers are growing plantains to sell at the local market. Police Major General Alfredo Gomez says these plantains may die because of the glyphosate, but that's the price of growing coca. You can't have plantains where you have coca, he says. Who's ever growing coca is simply violating the law. Gomez argues that the coca growers use processing chemicals that do much more damage to the environment than glyphosate does. He also says the critics of glyphosate in Colombia are the beneficiaries of coca. These include left-wing guerrillas and right-wing paramilitaries who tax coca growers and traffickers in order to finance their long-running war against one another. They're scared, says David Becker, a U.S. anti-narcotics official, because glyphosate actually works.
From a period of 4 or 5 years ago when there was one or two spray planes in the country and they simply didn't pay any attention to whether or not there was spray occurring, we come to a point now where there's a clear public reaction on the part of people who are cultivating against spray, and a clear analysis by the people that are doing the cultivation that if spray starts in an area, your time is limited.
Since the spraying campaign began last year, Colombian authorities say the chemical has destroyed 120,000 acres of coca. Despite U.S. and Colombian government claims, for some people, the negative effects of glyphosate are very real. At a recent conference on drugs, farmers who've had their coca fields sprayed with herbicides expressed their anger. This man says the government's plan is nothing less than a declaration of war against peasant farmers. Farmers like Jose Francisco Tenorio can empathize with the speaker. He says he's seen firsthand what glyphosate can do.
Bueno, el glifosato ha hecho daño como tanto.
It's done a lot of damage, he says, digestive problems and headaches. Tenorio says it's even killed some animals. These claims cannot be substantiated, but Colombian health officials in coca-growing regions say they've seen more than 1,000 cases of skin rashes and gastric disorders. Colombian agronomists claim hundreds of thousands of livestock could be affected. And environmentalists say U.S. and Colombian officials have not studied the possible effects of glyphosate on the ecosystem of the Amazon region, where much of the spraying is occurring. In addition, glyphosate has been mixed with other chemicals, and the effects of the mixture have also not been tested. Last month, a Colombian judge ordered the government to stop spraying on Indian reservations after indigenous groups filed suit against the government for damages. After the U.S. threatened to halt aid, the judge reversed his order, and spraying resumed. But criticism has continued. Klaus Nieholm heads up the United Nations Drug Control Program in Colombia.
Of course, if fumigation works, but the result is that the farmer will go further into the forest, cut even more forest, and usually even plant more coca that he would need, because he would expect the airplane to come back and spray some of it.
Niholm says that fumigation should be strictly confined to the large coca plantations, and the government should launch rigorous economic development programs to help small farmers. The United Nations official adds that initial investigations show that total coca cultivation has gone up since the spraying started. Colombian military authorities say the amount of coca being grown has increased by as much as 40,000 acres since the campaign began in December. Undaunted by the statistics, the Colombian government continues to attack the illegal drugs from the sky. In accordance with the wishes of U.S. anti-drug officials, the government hopes the strategy will help it eradicate 50% of the country's illicit crops in the next 5 years. For NPR News, I'm Stephen Dudley in Northern Colombia.